It was, Jesus was not the only man ever crucified. At one time after a rebellion, they took 3,000 Jewish soldiers and crucified them along the road leading into Jerusalem as a warning to anybody who ever thought to try that again. These were brutal, barbaric men. They conquered by the sword and by power and might. And the Jews were just so anxious to get them off their backs. They were greedy. They were barbaric. They were brutal. They were oppressive. And when Jesus came in and they were saying, this is it, this is the Savior, the Messiah, they expected him to get in Rome's face to finally once and for all tell these pagan, violent barbarians, look, we've had enough, this is it, you leave now and leave us alone. Get out of town before we grind you into the dust, essentially. They thought this was going to be a great military leader who was going to show them what for. So, you can imagine how surprised they might have been. Isn't it interesting that the first place Jesus comes is not to the palace? He goes to the temple. They're like, oh, he's coming. He's going to show Rome. He's going to deal with them. He is going to kick some serious butt. Well, he does. But he doesn't go to Rome. Where does he go? Goes to the temple, goes to the house of God, goes to the people of God, doesn't go to the world, doesn't go to the unbelievers and the pagans and the heathens and the barbarians. He comes to town. When he comes to clean house, he goes to the people of God, to the very house of God. Because judgment, as Peter says, judgment begins at the house of God. It doesn't start with the heathens and the pagans and the unbelievers. It starts with us. Because if God's people will get their house in order, if God's people will deal with the issues that we are dealing with and will get ourselves right with God and get our walk straight with Him, and if we will humble ourselves before Him and confess our sins and pray and turn from our wicked ways, then we'll have the power and the insight and the wisdom and the love to go out in the power of God and then speak to the unbelievers and then speak to the pagans and then speak to those who don't know God. Then we have something to show them. I mean, we get all upset about the way the unbelievers act, and justly so. I mean, they are acting like unbelievers. they act like they're lost. They act like they are totally bound up in sin. They are. They are dead in sin. You can take a corpse, kick that thing, beat that thing night and death. You know what? It's still going to act like a corpse. Because why? It's dead. So he doesn't go to the world first. First, when Jesus comes, let me say this. The first thing that happens when Jesus comes to clean is he starts with the house of God. So when we say, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, come, guess where he's coming first? Yeah. That's the essence of revival. Jesus comes to the house of God, starts to clean house. Don't take this the wrong way. We'll get some insight into this later. By the way, you know Jesus didn't use this to drive the people out. He used it to drive the animals out. He drove the, because, I mean, you know, you get a cattle sitting there, what are you going to do? You drive them out. The people followed the animals. He overturned the money tables, but the people could always come back and get the money. You know, when he got to the people who sold doves, you know, he didn't overturn the cages of those who sold doves. It says he overturned their seats. Why? Because the doves were there for the poor who could not afford to buy a larger animal. And he had compassion and mercy on them. And if he released the doves, if he busted up those cages, they would fly away. Then what would the poor have to sacrifice in worship to God? In the midst of all of that confrontation, there was mercy and truth. That's our God. Man, I'm getting goosebumps. Wow. Okay. When Jesus comes to clean, the first thing is he starts with the house of God. Now, as I was studying this passage, man, there were some words that leaped off the page. Yeah, I love when that happens. I'm like, God, show me something. He's like, okay. And he takes out his holy highlighter and he goes, bam. And I'm like, oh my goodness, there it is. Jesus' words to those standing around watching as he began to teach them. I love what he says. He says, is it not written, oh Lord, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. A house of prayer for what? All nations. Isn't that interesting? There is so much power to that. Jerusalem, the center of worship for the Jewish nation, was said to be basically a light to the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. It was there to be a light for the world. It was there that the Jews were supposed to go out from there to reach the world. They were expected. Even you can go all through the Old Testament. John Piper has a wonderful book about that. But basically, all through the Old Testament, there is the mandate for missions. There is a call for the Jews to go out into the Gentile nations and basically bring them the light of the glory of the one true and living God. They were supposed to be evangelizing. I mean, they did a little bit, but they really kind of lost sight of God's heart in the thing. That was a place for them to go out into the nations and bring them in to the light and the glory of the one true God. In fact, in that temple in Jerusalem, there was a court called the Court of the Gentiles. It was a place specifically reserved for them to come in. Yes, because they were not circumcised yet, because they hadn't fully embraced those things. They could only go so far in the temple, but that was okay. That was supposed to be a welcoming place to say, hey, come and worship God with us and let us minister His love and grace and glory to you. It was like going into a restaurant and they're like, oh, yes, sir, Mr. D'Souza, we have a table reserved for you right over here. Come on in. Can I get your chair for you? Can I get you something to drink? The Court of the Gentiles. It was set up because they were supposed to be a light to the nations. But, oh, by the way, let me show you that. We got a PowerPoint for that. This is the temple. And you got the outer wall going all around it. You got the Porch of Solomon at the top. You see the little gate. And when you come in the little gate at the top, now in the middle you have what they would call the religious area, where the sacrifices went on, and that's where the Jews were. It was separated from the rest by a barrier. But when you first come in through the Porch of Solomon at the gate there, you can see up in the upper left it says Court of the Gentiles, right? There's that big, wide space area around the inside the wall, but surrounding the rest of the temple. In fact, there's another picture here, a little more three-dimensional, if you go to the next one. Kind of a three-quarter view there. Court of the Gentiles. As they go in through the wall, that whole big wide area there was huge, so that the Gentiles could come in and worship God also. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a beautiful thing? Guess what? Jesus comes into the temple, walks through the gate, passes through that outer wall. And the first thing he sees is merchants with all of their wares, all their money tables, all of their oxen, their cattle, their sheep, their doves, and it smells like a stable and it sounds like a stable. And as you're walking through there, you got merchants, you got people buying and selling, you got these animals walking forth, back and forth, you got animal dung on the ground, you have animal urine on the ground, and you have to watch where you step so you don't step in the crap and the pee and watch so you don't walk into some animal somewhere. Guess where the marketplace was in the temple? The Court of the Gentiles. Now we know that in Palestine in that day, the Jews looked down on the Gentiles. They looked at them as somebody who was less than them. They didn't have it together, so I don't want to defile myself with them. They wouldn't invite them into their house to eat. They wouldn't sit with them. They kind of hesitated to touch them because they thought it would defile them, because they're not Jewish. They are something less than them.